I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
To start, I'm half joking with this. Do you know that Kansas City's getting the World Cup before we all find out? You're in an inner circle. You're a pretty important person in this city.
You know, I had a sense, Fern, and certainly we've been supportive and been involved in that. But, you know, in reality, I don't think anybody knew for sure until it came out. I think there were some smoke signals that kind of gave people indication that we were certainly more than on the bubble, maybe. But that was very exciting news for our city and in our community. And I think it's going to do a lot for everything. And I think it'll help our business as well long term.
What was your reaction? Where were you? How did the news hit you, and what washed over you when it happened?
Well, I was kind of expecting it, but you never know until it. But I just thought it was a big deal. I was out of town. I can't think where I was exactly, but it was big news. And you know, it's not. My kids all texted me from Chicago and California, and this is a big news for anybody that's ever been connected to Kansas City, that the whole world is going to come here for the kind of the greatest sports show on earth and be here for a while. It'll be a very exciting time for Kansas City, and I think the preparation for that will be really interesting. And I think as we think about juxtaposing what we're doing with the Chiefs and how we're thinking about our stadium, I think it could be very interesting as well.
Yeah, and that leads me right to it. You would think 2026, this is either going to be a packed parking lot or it could lead to the downtown ballpark. Might it advance those conversations a little bit more? Is that the hope?
Well, you know, it's a process, and we got very, very good people working on it. One thing that we're doing right now, which similar to what the Chiefs are doing, we're actually in the process of a sports architectural firm and an engineering firm are doing the same thing here that the Chiefs are doing across the parking lot relative to what would it cost to renovate the Kauffman Stadium, extend its life, and really modernize it for the current fan experience and the player development, clubhouses, and things like that. So that's kind of the first. That'll be a first data point that I think will be really important to us. Know it's important to the Chiefs, and at some point we'll want to share the details of that with the public. And I think when we do that, that's going to be the first step in really showing the community, you know, kind of where we are and the seriousness of this, and certainly constantly, we're getting a lot of feedback on this project.
So 2026, it's a possibility. You guys are still here renovating improving Kauffman Stadium. That's a possibility.
You know, it's a possibility. I would tell you that I think it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think all options have to be on the table. My sense is that you know, renovating this stadium and really modernizing and extending its life is going to be very expensive versus the alternatives. I think about, we don't have all the details on that yet, but you think about what the Cubs did in at Wrigley, and that's probably been, what, 10, 12, 15 years ago now? They spent $600 million just renovating in place. Now, they gutted the lower bowl, they tore it out and rebuilt it and rebuilt club space and eating space and you know, club amenities and to modernize to the best we could. Although the visiting clubhouse there, by the way, and maybe you guys have been in it, but that looks like a high school locker room. I was in it one time when I was with Cleveland. We beat them in the division series in 2016, and if I remember right, some of the towels were kind of hanging on nails on the wall. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
I remember being there when it was during the All-Star announcements, and the team I was covering had four different players make the All-Star team. One of them was Prince Fielder, so just trying to get around him and move around
right,
in that
right.
clubhouse
actually,
was difficult.
Actually, it was
difficult.
Fenway. Did I say Wrigley? It was actually I'm describing the Fenway Visitors Clubhouse, but as I understand it, Chicago's...
Wrigley's is rough.
Yeah.
At least old Wrigley.
I've heard somebody say, tell the Red Sox guys that yours is better than theirs. And again, no disparagement toward the Cubs or the... Or the Red Sox on that. They have great venues, and those are great organizations, and
sure.
We certainly aspire to be like them.
Yeah. The Kansas City Star had a piece recently where they really zeroed in on two possible locations for a possible downtown ballpark. Does one reign supreme in your mind? Does one...
Of those two?
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm not... There certainly are more than that. That are still in the hunt. I think that the East Village location is one that, I think we've been looking at for a longer time. It's an interesting, it's got some advantages, but certainly there are still multiple sites that are under consideration.
Now, as we're talking with Chairman and CEO of your Kansas City Royals, John Sherman, here on 610 Sports Radio, your history with this team as a fan, long documented. You know these people in Kansas City, so when they hear the idea of a downtown ballpark, they look to the ball club, which has fallen short of expectations this season, and all they hear is a public-private split for a new stadium.
Yeah.
You understand the inflation and everything that's going on in this country right now.
Right.
What would be your message to this city, to this fan base, as they try to balance a team that is disappointed and an organization likely coming to them asking for a hand in building a downtown stadium?
You know, it's interesting. I would just tell you where my mind share is right now. You know, we have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We have a team that is evaluating all this, we hope, in the most rational way for the club, for the community, for the region. But I am personally more focused on the ball club and the on-field performance. That's what I'm thinking about every morning. The stadium, that's a longer-term deal. We got really good people working on it. But I personally am focused on trying to work with Dayton and JJ and the group on how we how we get better long-term.
How would you evaluate this season? How are those conversations going? And when is your expectation for this team to produce the kind of record that we can all be proud of?
Well, you know, as far as this year goes, I would just say the results are disappointing. You know, and I think it's okay to be to not be where you want to be, but when you're rebuilding a team and an organization. The disappointing part about this year is that I think that we thought we were further along, and clearly we're not. And you know, we can think about the reasons for that, and I think we want to make sure anytime, and it's not just baseball, Vern. I think in any business, when you're not performing well, you know, I think you should shine the bright lights on people, processes, systems, and what you need to get better. Right? I think in sports, in particular, it has struck me that the bright lights are shining all the time, right? Somebody told me a long time ago that, you know, it's the only industry with its only section in the newspaper. And so, you know, you're going to get a lot of opinions. For the most part, what I hear is passion and certainly hear frustration, but I'm with our fans on that. Now, you said I was a fan for a long time, and I am a fan, so I still have that emotion and that passion for this team and this community. But also, I can't just be a fan. I've got to engage both sides of my brain and think about the business and the organization and what we need to do to make sure that we're better going forward. I would just tell you, and this isn't just me, this is all of us, right? When you're having a year like this, the status quo is just not, that's not going to be good enough, right? It's we got to look hard in the mirror and think about how we get better. And and that's just not me. JJ and Dayton, we're talking about that every day. You know, how do we right the ship in a way? There's a lot of things I feel good about. I would tell you that. I look at the bright spots every night. I try to find a silver lining. And I think when you talk about fans, one thing I'm really, I get a lot of feedback. I hear the frustration, but I also hear a lot of positive comments of support. Somebody walked up to me the other night, a big slick, and said, "John, keep doing what you're doing. Rome was not built in a day. We're here." And I am encouraged by when I see the crowds that show up here on Friday night, on Sunday, last night. I'm really encouraged and grateful for our fans' engagement with us. You know, we're the number five. We're still rated number five in baseball and local television ratings. Our merchandise sales are setting a record this year. And that just happens to be I say that not for the revenue component of it. That is a sign of fan engagement. So despite the frustration, despite not being where we want to be, I appreciate our fans hanging in there with us.
Talk about shining a light on the processes. Reconfigured the front office last year. Has that bore the type of fruit that you were hoping? Are you happy with the processes that you're in?
With Dayton and JJ's role? Yeah. You know, I think so. I think that's a work in progress. I think JJ is a very talented guy. He came up through the player development side. I mean, they're both kind of have that traditional baseball background, but I think that JJ was a real architect of some of the modernization of our baseball processes and systems, and I think I'm happy with it. I think anytime you make those type of changes, there's adjustments to be made on not just on JJ's part, on Dayton's part, but all of those that interact with them. So we got to keep that moving in the right direction. But generally, I'm happy with that structure. You know, one thing. That we had that structure in Cleveland. If you look around the league, and it's not just that's just not something to give a guy a higher title, you know, to keep him here. I mean, I think some people think that's title inflation, and we're just trying to keep people here. I think it was a good move to keep JJ here because he was a guy that was coveted by other organizations. But it really speaks to the complexity of the business, and it's just. You know, dividing those roles and making sure we're dividing and conquering and making sure that we're the roles and responsibilities are defined can make us more effective. I would say I'm happy with it. We need to keep working on it, keep getting better at it.
Confident that brain trust can do what they did a handful of seasons ago and bring another winner to Kansas City.
You know, I'm confident that they are waking up every day trying to think about how to achieve that goal, how to build a championship team, how to get back in contention. I think about getting in the, you know, I think we talk a lot about a championship team, what it looks like, this guy. I want us to get back in the hunt. I want us to get back in the dance. You know, there's a first step to building a championship team, and it's competing. You know, for example, this year, I think, I don't know what Fangraphs or the third party said about what our team should have been this year, how we should have. I kind of thought of us as a team that had a chance to, you know, maybe hover around 500, you know, and you know, if we were playing 500 ball right now, we'd be five or six games out of first in our division. So think about the opportunity here of incremental improvement. So I think that's kind of what I'm looking for is that first step. I've got confidence that we can get back to the promised land, but we got to take that first step and really be, you know, have meaningful games in August and September that keep our fans engaged all summer, and then we get back to the dance. That's kind of the first step I'm looking for.
74 wins last year. Do you view this as a step back? Because you think about when you took over as chairman and CEO, you know, a pandemic hits, and yet we saw incremental improvement over the course of 2020 into 2021. Right. Is this a step back? Record-wise, would say yes, but organizationally, how do you feel?
Well, I, from a results on the field perspective, you'd have to say yes. It's disappointing. I think we have bright spots. You know, we've done an evaluation of our talent, both throughout the system in terms of their value. I think about the, and I think we improved ourselves with the Carlos Santana move the other day. I mean, I think you never know what two prospects are doing, but I think, you know, getting Mills and Fleming, those are two guys with some upside that could help the team. I think that's what we need to do, make sure that we're we continue to put talent in the pipeline, because that will raise our odds of getting. But no, I think it's disappointing. It's hard to, whether you say it's that we regressed. I think if you look at the record, at least to date, you'd have to say that that's the case. But again, lots of reasons for that. But whatever they are, they're not acceptable. Status quo's not acceptable.
How would you describe your competitiveness, the drive home from the ballpark? Are you able to leave it here? Do you need to fall asleep before the losses leave the body? I've always thought the reason to own a professional organization, and of course I would know, but I would always think it's civic pride.
Absolutely.
And of course, you're a competitor. I want to stand there with that trophy. How would you describe your competitiveness?
Well, I would tell you civic pride. These are great platforms for doing good in a community. I think that's a big part of, but I think people that own these things, I can speak, you want to compete. It is fun to compete. I'm not going out on the field anymore, but you feel like you're part of something special. I would tell you that even though logically you're supposed to keep this in perspective, there's 162 games, every single loss hurts. And I think about last night. I mean, again, I try to find the silver lining and everything, but I want to send, when we get 20, what do we have yesterday? 20, almost 20, we get 20,000 people on a Tuesday. I want to send them home with a win. Okay, we can't control that just because that's the icing on the cake. I know different people have, it was a nice night for families and all that, but I think winning is important. So I would tell you that every loss hurts and every win feels pretty good. The other thing I would tell you about baseball, it's great, is when you lose, you get to come back tomorrow to redeem yourself. And when you win, you can't wait to get back to the ballpark tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I always talk about our ownership group being, and they are 100% civically engaged. They did this for the right reason. Community is a big part of it, but to a person, they all want to win, and we want to do it for our fans of this, for the great fans of this community.
You mentioned the 20,000 on a Tuesday night. You get 25, 26 back on Friday.
I think we had a big crowd Sunday too. Yeah. I mean, for a Sunday afternoon game.
Yeah. And you take a look around the landscape right now in this country, everything's at least a dollar more than it normally is, and yet people are still making their way out. You know how much this city appreciates and supports a winner. I've kind of touched on this, and so have you, but how eager are you to deliver that winner to this city?
I'm very eager. I can't. The sense of urgency is palpable. By the same token, you got to do this at the right pace. You got to make sure the foundation's strong to move forward. But, I am impatient about. I'm patient about making sure we do the right things to get there. I am impatient though about delivering for the great fans of this community.
Yeah. Often, as you know, doing the post game show, fans want answers and reaction after every single game. You said earlier that the status quo isn't going to hold up. You got to change something if the product isn't at the level or producing where you want it to. So that would make this off season, right? That would make this off season a big off season if you don't want status quo. Long way of asking. In-season changes, to me, have never been a reflection of a well-run organization or a strong business. Where do you come out on changing the status quo in-season when we still have 88 games to go?
Well, I think we have some really important things coming up. And when I think about the draft and the trade deadline, and I think both of those are opportunities to improve this organization. So those are things we'll do in season. I'm looking to for we're spending a lot of time. I'm supportive, but I'm also pushing for the right changes. And I think Dayton and JJ are guys with great baseball histories and great I expect them to be the architects of change and getting us on the right track here.
Without fawning too much, over your tenure as CEO and chairman to deal with what you dealt with and the rest of your group has dealt with since the pandemic and, you know, the lack of furloughs and paying minor leaguers and spending money on Salvi and Santana and Minor and Greinke and everyone else. If you could go back and talk to yourself right before you make the purchase of the organization, what wisdom, what advice do you impart on a younger John Sherman?
That's an interesting, you know, if I would have known that there was a global pandemic around the corner, well, it certainly wouldn't have changed any of my behavior. You know, these businesses become available about once every generation and a half, right? So if you love this game and you've been fortunate enough to have the wherewithal to put together a group to do this, you kind of need to make those moves when they're available. And you know, it's a pretty rare you know, having the opportunity to be in Cleveland for 4 years before I did this was also a blessing. But it's really my business career, though, I would say, prepared me for what happened right after we acquired this team. You know, I mean, and I would say this about the group. These are veteran, a lot of them are veteran business people and leaders. They've all been through various crises, right? And business crises, leadership crises. And so, you know, the main thing I don't think you know till you get there, but I think that we were equipped to, you know, always think about these things. You want to be, you don't want to overreact, but you don't want to underreact. You want to be decisive but thoughtful, and the main thing is not to panic. And so I think I was fortunate that, you know, I was prepared for that, even though it was a new business for me, and listening to the people in the organization. I mean, that was one thing about the first year. You know, it's always when you acquire one of these things, it's you spend some time, right? You don't make changes immediately. You spend some time getting to know the people, and then I think that was actually set back by the pandemic, because really it was how do we make sure we kind of make this thing stable and secure. On the other hand, baseball wasn't going anywhere, right? This was just about, despite, you know, the world, you know, the sky was falling for sure, right? But baseball wasn't going anywhere. In fact, if anything, I think the pandemic actually helped us appreciate the value of sports even more. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a little bizarre out here in 2020 with us and the paper cutouts, right? But the guys were competing, and you think about how hungry people were for live sports at that time. I mean, we were watching I think cornhole championships or Korean baseball.
I know baseball. I was, yeah.
at three in the morning. So, so anyway, the way you pose that question, that's an interesting one thing though. I know, if you love this game and you get the opportunity, and you're lucky enough to get the opportunity to do something like this, particularly in the community you live in, it's really an unbelievable opportunity. It's also why I want to execute it right. I want to execute it right for our ownership group, for our fans, and for the region and community.
Talk about your love for baseball. I wasn't planning on asking this, but I don't think I've heard you point to market size. I don't want to, you know, whining certainly not the right word,
right.
But pointing out facts of, you know, it's different in Kansas City than it is L.A., New York.
Right.
What would you say to the health of this sport? Just signed a new CBA, which we're all very happy with. But what would you say about the health of this sport in 2022?
Well, I think you won't ever hear me complain about being a small market, and given the system that we have, I kind of see it as a blessing, because I think if you can pull this off in a small market, it is a special achievement, right? And so from that perspective, I relish that opportunity, relish that challenge. That said, I do think, you know, we have some there are some flaws in our system, you know, relative to competitive balance. We did get through a CBA. I think it was a win-win for the group. I think long term, though, there's some things that we need to work on, both from a labor perspective, but then also just business strategy. I think about long term media strategy, not just locally but nationally. I think there's some big opportunities for us on the media, in the media landscape, if we can kind of think about this differently in the way that younger fans consume this game. You know, I get, I think I've said this before, but now I like the fact we have this app out, the Bally's app, and but, you know, people recently, somebody asked me at a funeral, why can't I get the games, you know? And so that's probably the number one thing. So this app is one step, but I think long term, I think we will totally change the way that we deliver this content, and I think it'll provide a lot of opportunity. I also think it will ultimately be something that helps competitive balance in terms of the way we share that revenue and things like that. Well, that all remains to be seen, but I would just tell you that all of us at Major League Baseball, the owners, the commissioner's office, we are committed to try and find ways to make this a better product for our fans, for the league, for the players.
Condolences on the funeral you attended.
Well, it was. I just thought that was a great.
But you can't even. Can't go anywhere without hearing about the TV.
This was at a funeral, wow. and it was. You know, it's interesting when older people say that to me. They say I had YouTube TV because my kids made me get it, changed from Spectrum, and then I lost the games. But you know, I'm going out on the screen porch now. And I'm listening to it on the radio like I did when we were kids, and they enjoy that. But that's not the 28 to 35 year old, right, that we want to get more engaged in that game. That's people more older than me, even.
Yeah, I love them listening to the radio. And the post-game show.
No, I do too. No, don't get me wrong.
No, I understand. any message to me or the post-game show listeners by chance?
Well, I'm one of them. It's my ride home every night. So
that's what I was aiming for. That's what I was hoping you would say. Mr. Sherman, I greatly appreciate a lot of time this morning. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Vern.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.